I'll read verses 13 through 18, and I want to talk to you about the covenant, God's covenant that He's cut with us through Jesus. And I'll probably have to qualify that He actually cut the covenant with Jesus. How's that? But in Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man disannuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years afterward, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And I've been just really pondering this afternoon on the covenant and how throughout the history of humanity, how God has made various covenants with human beings. For instance, with Noah, after the flood, God made the covenant with Noah and with the earth. And the seal of that covenant was a rainbow, and the covenant was, I will not destroy the earth with water, completely cover it with water like I did before. And then you go down through history and you find Abram, a man whom God called out from his own country, and because of his faithfulness to God, his obedience, you can go over into the 12th chapter of Genesis, the 15th chapter of Genesis, the 17th chapter of Genesis, even the 22nd chapter, and you see where God is cutting covenant or renewing covenant with Abraham and actually promising him that all the nations of the earth would be blessed as a result of God's covenant with Abraham. Now, the covenant with Abraham was God's promise to him, but then the seal of that covenant was circumcision. It was something done in the flesh. And then you move on down after the Israelites come out of Egypt and they're established as a nation. They have an established worship of their tabernacle, and God gives Moses the law when Moses goes up on Mount Sinai or Horeb, and he receives the law, which is a covenant that God made. And interesting enough, before Moses went up, God spoke this audibly to the entire nation of Israel. And then when Moses went up, he got what God said confirmed in writing. Now, in this covenant, when Moses read the book of the covenant, the written covenant, he sprinkled both the book and the people with animal blood. And it says almost everything is ratified or remitted through blood. And so when you go from Moses and you come on into the New Testament and we talk about New Covenant, and, you know, your Bible's divided up as Old Testament, New Testament, and actually the word testament defined means a person's will in writing. That's all a testament is, just giving you what a person wills, but it's not verbal. It's a legal document where it's getting. And so we go from an old covenant to a new covenant. Now, the interesting thing about the new covenant is God is keeping his covenant to Abraham, but he does this through not seeds as of many, but as one seed, and that being Jesus Christ. And so God's covenant is cut with, just like it was cut with one person with Abraham, God's covenant is cut with one person, Jesus Christ. Now, as Gentiles, we have the privilege of hearing the gospel, and what we do to be beneficiaries, if you will, of this covenant is to accept Jesus Christ. He's the heir, we're the joint heirs, you understand. So he's actually sharing an inheritance with us. Now, this covenant was cut in blood. And if you think about it from this perspective, God required Abraham to shed blood in the act of circumcision. But the covenant that Abraham cut with God, then you look at the 22nd chapter of Genesis, where Abraham gave his son, you know, offered, took Isaac up to sacrifice Isaac, offering to God. Then there's the covenant is a reciprocal action. Abraham did something which gives God the legal right to do something in earth. So it's a reciprocal action to where God, through His only Son, Jesus Christ, is now cutting the covenant, where with Abraham it was for one race of people. We know it today as the Jewish race or the Israelites. But even at that, if a person would proselyte over, if they wanted to come into the nation of Israel and come under the law of Israel, and the males would have to be circumcised, then they too could benefit by that covenant. But under the new covenant, God so loved the world that He gave. There is no middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. There is no racial differences from God's perspective. He took that away, and we're all one in the same way because of this new covenant that God has cut. And so the covenant with Abraham, even you follow the Israelites, they had to keep the covenant in order to receive the benefits of the covenant. There's blessings, there's curses, okay? And so in order to incur the blessing of Abraham, then they had to be obedient to the word of God. And so God was asking them not to just walk by the letter of the word, but He's actually asking them to walk by faith. Believe me, trust me, do what I tell you to do, and enjoy these benefits. You know, Abraham was a blessed man because of the covenant. Israel was a blessed nation because of the covenant. But ironically enough, Israel wasn't content. They weren't satisfied. They wanted to be like everybody else, so they would break covenant, get in trouble, and then want to go back in to covenant with God. And God, in His mercy, would bring them back in. This one on, you know, I'm reading Judges right now, and it's really amazing. You know, they get in trouble, God gives them a judge, gets them out of trouble, and how soon they forget, and they go right back to serving other gods. They break the covenant. And because they break the covenant, then they put themselves in the position of the curse. Yet when they cry out to God, God would extend His mercy to them. He's a keeper of His covenant. You with me? And just because they were unfaithful, it didn't affect the faithfulness of God. Now when we come over into the New Testament or the New Covenant, everything is focused on Jesus. It's not a law, it's not rules, it's not regulations. Everything is focused on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to understand God's covenant, then we must first understand that I don't have a covenant with God aside from Jesus. The covenant is cut with Jesus. And if I want to walk in those covenant privileges, then I'm going to have to become one with Jesus. I have to have my identity in Him. That's why He lives in us, you understand. It's so He can live the life that you and I naturally speaking, aren't capable of living, but He empowers us by the Holy Spirit to live a life that will keep us in those covenant rights and privileges. It'll keep us in right standing with God by constantly keeping us in Jesus. You know, we're not to walk in and out. And yet I see so many people that go through the rituals and the form, but never really enter in the covenant with Jesus. Now here's the thing about the covenant. It cost Jesus His life. So He gave His life. The blood that He shed is the seal of the covenant, right? Now what He's saying is to enter into covenant with Him, we have to give our lives. Not the killing of the physical body, but the death of carnality, the denying of self. I gave my life for you, I want you to give your life for me. Now, when we lay our life down, what do? We pick up His life. He doesn't leave us lifeless, but He gives us a better life, which we call eternal life. It's a never-ending life. As a matter of fact, the moment a person's born again, they immediately start enjoying eternal life. John chapter 5 tells us that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then what we're doing is passing from death to life. In other words, we died to the old carnality, that self, died to sin, and now we're allowing the life of God to be lived through us, which is in agreement with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where it's the life of Jesus now being lived through us by the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us. Does all that make sense? Okay. So, first off, we need to understand what a covenant is. It's a signed, written agreement that binds you to do what you've promised. The old covenant, God wrote it and bound Himself to it to keep His word. The new covenant, God said, the Bible says, because God could swear by no other, He swore by Himself. That by two immutable things, the word, the promise, and the oath. God gave His word and swore to it. That's what you and I have today. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're actually making an agreement with God. You know, from this day forward, I am yours. My life is committed to you. We're actually going into an agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? Now, it's interesting when you look this word covenant up, New Testament, I just gave you an Old Testament definition. The New Testament says one of the words it uses is disposition, which is a settlement, and it's property that's disposed willingly. It's a legal term, okay? And so it's property that's disposed legally. In other words, I give this to you willingly. And then we've already stated that the testament is the will in writing. And so this is not just some book. This is a covenant. And when you and I read this, we should be hearing what God has promised. This, and He's promised these things in this new covenant with an oath. And God can't lie. And God will not renege on His promise. He even tells us in Romans concerning, like with the Israelites, even though they had turned away from God, He said the gifts and call of God are irrevocable. Just because you're not serving God doesn't mean that the gifts not operating in you, the abilities that God's given you. And so many people use their gifts and abilities for themselves, not for God. But God doesn't renege on the covenant. He doesn't say, well, you didn't do this, so I'm free of my covenant. God keeps His word. What happens is we walk away from it. God never moves. But the Scriptures teach us that our sin separates us from God. It's not that God withdraws from us, but we withdraw from God. It's this word called guilt. You know, if you're not doing anything wrong and a police officer pulls in behind you or pulls up beside you, big deal. But what if you're illegal? No, it is a big deal. And you start getting real nervous and all these other things, right? Why? Because your own heart's condemning you. It's the same way with God. It's our heart that condemns us, not God that's condemning us. God's not pulling away. God's saying, come on, the covenant is established. And if you'll walk according to the requirements of the covenant, you'll enjoy the privileges of the covenant. But if you don't walk in Jesus, if you don't allow Jesus to live His life through you, you're going to incur all these other things around you. Not because God's mad at you. It has nothing to do with that. And people misread this. God is set on His covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's not here condemning you. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but He came into the world that the world through Him might be saved. You understand? And so God is for us, and He wants us to understand that. He wants us to understand what the covenant's all about. It's a covenant of life and peace. Actually, in the Old Testament, when the Levites stood up, because Israel was sinned with Midianites and just openly sinning and all this type thing, and this guy in the midst of what should have been repentance, in the midst of this, one of the leaders in the nation, he brings this Midianite woman, takes her into the tent, and Phinehas has such a zeal for God that he takes his javelin and puts it through both of them. God said, because he did this, I will establish the priesthood with him forever. And then he goes on to say that I've made a covenant with Levi. It's a covenant of life and peace. Well, we have that covenant privilege through Jesus Christ. What does Jesus give us? He gives us life. He gives us peace. He is our life. He says, peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Not like the world, you understand, not dependent upon circumstances. But you can, if you'll enjoy my life, you'll enjoy my peace. If you keep your attention on me, then you're going to see that God is a covenant-keeping God. If you don't keep your attention on me, you're going to go out here and you're going to falsely accuse God because of all these things that are happening. And this is where so many professing Christians are today. They're giving God a bad rap. God's never broken His covenant. God's never violated His covenant. As a matter of fact, He used Hosea to really give insight into just how God sees His covenant, asking Him to go marry a prostitute, if you will. And then she runs around on him and he goes out and hires his own wife. Buys her back. And God is using His life to illustrate to Israel how they are. And yet God is telling Hosea, take her back. This is how I'll do Israel. Take her back. Take her back. Take her back. I'm in covenant with her. And so if you've missed it along the way, God's not writing you off. He has a covenant through Jesus Christ. All Jesus is wanting is to let you know that He is the advocate with the Father and just come to Him and come clean. Don't try to con God. Don't try to make excuses to God. Because He already knows anyway. You're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. I promise you that. He's not asking us to acknowledge our sin so He'll know what it is. He already knows. But what He's wanting us to do is acknowledge that we have so we can get right back into that place to where we're actually enjoying the covenant rights and privileges that He's given to us. So, the covenant's cut with Jesus. What did we determine is what we do with Jesus. Pilate said, what will I do with Him? why not enter into intimate relationship with Him? Amen? And enjoy this covenant rights and privileges. A covenant is a binding agreement. As long as God lives, do you follow that? And that's eternally. That covenant stands. Throughout all eternity, the covenant stands. Jesus is one with God, we're one with Jesus. So consequently, we enjoy all the rights and privileges of the family of God. Pretty powerful when you think about it. Amen? Well, that's the message. Now,